Well, as you know, we are still considering some of the questions posed in the Gospel according to Matthew. And we owe the question for today to our Lord Jesus himself. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I'm sure we all miss Irene terribly this morning. Many of you will know that her late husband Gordon was, and her stepson Anthony still is, an accountant, a qualified accountant. And had Gordon and Anthony been alive in the days of our Lord Jesus, they would both have readily understood the meaning of our text. Because with their accounting background, they would have been familiar with what accountants label a profit and loss statement, which, put at its simplest, sets out a company's income over against its expenses for a set period and shows any profit made. But in our text for this morning, our Saviour draws our attention to his own great profit and loss account. What shall it profit a man, he asks, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Not that he was expecting anybody to answer him. The answer was self-evident. Such a person would profit nothing. Rather, he would lose everything. Nor when he asked, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, did our Lord envisage that anybody would ever do that. For the most successful of men can only hope to secure for themselves some tiny fraction of this world's wealth and possession. I understand that last year Bill Gates, chairman of the computer software giant Microsoft, regained his title as the world's richest man, being worth an estimated $40 billion. That's more than Mrs. Mullin's pension. But even all Bill Gates' wealth is just a drop of a bucket compared to the whole world. And I'm sure you are aware of many eminently rich and thriving people who, in spite of the great wealth which they have gained, fail to find either satisfaction or happiness in life. I guess there have been few men more successful than Alexander the Great, who in the 4th century BC conquered most of the then known world, and yet, who died at the age of just 33. From a fever he developed when in a physically weakened condition due to heavy drinking. More recently, you might think of Howard Hughes, in his day the richest man in America. He spent the last 15 years of his life a drug addict. The owner of a whole chain of huge casinos, who when he died in 1976 was described by the Time magazine as the biggest loser in the end. More recently, I read earlier this month of Callie Rogers, a young woman of 22 from Cumbria, who 5 years ago won almost £2 million on the lottery, but who, having unsuccessfully attempted suicide within just 2 years of her win, now faces total bankruptcy. She was reported in the press as having said that the money brought me nothing but unhappiness. My life is a shambles. Now, to gain significant amounts of this world's goods certainly carries no guarantee of happiness. Nor, as I say, is it possible for any one person to gain the whole world. But just suppose, Jesus was saying, that somebody could do that. of what benefit would that be to him if while gaining it, he lost his own soul, if he forfeited his inner being and self? Because my soul is the real me, the me which will never die, which can no more cease to exist than God himself. You might remember the earlier words of our Lord Jesus when he warned, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Or when he spoke of a rich, though godless farmer, to whom God had occasion to announce, "This night your soul will be required of you." And it would certainly be no great bargain, no profit, as our Lord expressed it, to gain even the whole world, which whole world will of course one day perish, and yet to lose my soul, which is imperishable and eternal. It would be anything but a bargain to gain this present world, but lose the next. "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world," Jesus asked, "and loses his own soul?" What a tremendously high value Jesus set on the human soul. Make no mistake, this he did not only in word, as we've read, but indeed in action, because immediately preceding our text for today, he had begun, the gospel says, to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be killed. And at that cross he proved that in his estimation, my soul was worth suffering and dying for. Many centuries before, one of Israel's psalms had made it clear, and I quote, that none can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of the soul is costly. But that high cost the Lord Jesus was willing to pay, that each of us might have the opportunity, through trusting alone in him, to avoid losing our souls. And so it is that your New Testament speaks not only of the man Christ Jesus who gave himself a ransom for all, but also of those who believe to the saving of the soul. I want you to note those words, who believe to the saving of the soul. And I'm thrilled to note that in several places in my Bible, I meet this word believing alongside that great old English word, whosoever. I think, for example, of the Apostle Peter's expression concerning the Lord Jesus, "Whosoever believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins." And the even better known words of John 3. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And frankly, I feel far safer resting on that word, whosoever, than I would even if I saw my own name written there on the page of my Bible. Because even if I read my name there, I could not be absolutely certain that God meant me. What if there was someone else with the same name? And that God's promise was meant for him, and not for me. Indeed, only last week a friend of mine forwarded me an advertisement for a restaurant in Southbourne in Hampshire, the proprietor of which restaurant is graced with the name Malcolm Horlock. Same spelling. So by label, at least, I'm not unique. So you can understand why I'm thankful this morning that God's offer of salvation is open to whosoever believes. It's good enough for me. Because by trusting alone in this Lord Jesus, I can take my place among those who believe to the saving of the soul. Many years ago, I came across a very simple four-line poem, which has stuck with me through the years. To lose your wealth is much, to lose your health is more, but to lose your soul is such a loss as no man can restore. Remember then that solemn question posed by the Saviour. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Shall we briefly pray?